May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill our hearts with the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every aspect of the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Mubarak body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the poem discussion was made of the perspiration of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Safiya radiallahu anha would collect the perspiration of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she said that her fragrance would be the most superior fragrance based on that Mubarak perspiration of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The ulama-i-kiram explain that if you and I implement the Mubarak teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam within our lives, then inshallah we will also get the barakat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our lives. So may Allah ta'ala grant us all tawfiq. Continuing with the muraqabah of maut, we had discussed the first couplets of poetry of Khaja Hassan, Ajizul Hassan Majzoob Rahmatullah Ali, in which he had mentioned that Chand Roza Zindagi Hai Yaad Rakh, that remember that you have been created to Barai Bandagi Hai Yaad Rakh, remember that you have really been created for the Abdiyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore you should apply yourself and realize that ultimately the true purpose for which Allah has brought you into this world is to worship Him. And do not allow this world to beguile you and deceive you, because Chand Roza Zindagi Hai Yaad Rakh, this life is just a few days, it's just a few, if we may say, rozas that you have to keep, a little bit of restraining here, a little bit of restraining there. And in fact, if you look at the number of things that we have to restrain ourselves, it's far less in comparison to the number of things which are halal. If we take food for example, the amount of halal food that is available and that which is haram is it's minimal, it's nominal in comparison. And in fact, all that which is haram, and again we'll bring Hazrat Moinis Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali into the picture, that Hazrat Rahmatullah used to say that in haram, if you look at the spelling of haram, in haram, if you remove the R, then it's haram. And because you take out the R, so there'll be a double A after the R. So Hazrat used to say that the double A becomes, tells you there's double harm. In every single thing that is haram, there's double harm in it. So Nazir used an example, he said that, for example, take alcohol. The person drinks, and now when the person drinks alcohol, what happens? That the person, not only is he jeopardizing or is he harming himself, but it is harming his family, it's harming the community, and it has the potential to harm society at large. The person drinks, for example, if the person is driving a vehicle, now and is under the influence of alcohol, now his life is at risk. And if he's got passengers in the car, now their lives is at risk, or their lives are at risk. And not only that, there are other road users whose lives are also now placed at risk due to this one individual who is under the influence of alcohol. So Allah Ta'ala in reality is protecting us from that which is harmful for us. If we take adultery and everything that Allah Ta'ala has made haram, it is actually Allah is protecting us from something which is harmful for us. So it is actually the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we have been protected from these things. So in every single thing that is haram, there is actually harm for a person, but the nafs now, you know, inclines towards those things. It's like a little child, now the ayn is there. And now that ayn is colorful. You see some of the ayns, they got different colors on them. You know, they need to sell the ayns. So now for the little child, one parent mentioned to me that, Maulana, you know, I buy my children the best of toys. But somehow or the other, those toys don't interest them. They will find the pots and the pans and the spoons in the kitchen. That interests them more. The toys, that doesn't really interest them. Mothers will bear us out that sometimes the child will take that wooden spoon, that nice, you know, silicone spoon that she got from as a gift from some place far. But now the child is really attracted to that, and the mother has to give in, and the little infant uses that to as a teething ring instead of the expensive teething ring that was bought at one of those designer baby shops. But that silicone one, it seems more enticing for the child. So the child now, for that ayn looks very enticing, it looks very colorful, then the child wants that ayn. And now the parents are trying to stop the child and explain to the child that, my beloved child, that this ayn is harmful for you. You're going to pull, you're going to touch it, you'll burn, you'll hurt yourself. The child cannot understand. It is beyond the child's understanding. There are many things that the intelligence of man stops at a certain point. And Allah Ta'ala's knowledge is far beyond the intelligence of man. There are many things that are beyond our intelligence. One person came to our Maulana Mazhar Sahib Damat Barakatuh. He said that, you know, Maulana, I first, anything that I hear, I first, you know, measure it with my logic. And if it makes sense to me, then I do it. If it doesn't make sense to me, I leave it out. So then Hazrat explained to him that, bhai, there's lots of things in Shariat and Islam that goes against the logic completely. Take for example, when a person makes wuzu, so we know that a person's wuzu breaks, and one of the things that breaks the wuzu is the person passes wind. The person passes wind, his wuzu breaks. Now, one story, light-hearted story comes to mind. In the first session, the brothers were crying a lot, so we have to balance it out to something a bit light-hearted. So there was one Imam Sahib, which are a simple Imam, wasn't an alim or anything. So he was performing the Salah for the Musallis. And after the Salah, towards the end of the Salah, he made Sajda Isawa. So the Musallis were very curious. They wanted to know, Hazrat, kya hua hai? What happened? MashaAllah, you know, your Salah sab theek hai, Takbir-e-Tahreema theek hai, your Qiraat was alright, everything was alright, your Ruku was right, Sajda was right. What happened? What went wrong? He said, everything was fine. My Takbir-e-Tahreema was fine, my Qiyam was fine, the Qiraat was fine, the Ruku was fine, the Sajda was fine. Albatta zara rih nikla. The only thing is a little bit of wind came out. Some wind came out, so he made Sajda Isahu. He thought the Sajda Isahu will sort out the wind. So the wind, the passing of wind breaks the wuzu. So Hazrat explained that when you pass your wind, you're passing your wind from a certain place. But when you make wuzu, are you washing that place where the wind came out from? The logic would have said that the wind came out from a certain place, so I should be washing that place where the wind came out. What has the hands and the feet and the elbows got to do with the... So logic doesn't go there. And then we know, as it Ali radiallahu anhu mentioned, لَوْكَانَ الدِّينَ بِالرَّأِي. If deen had to do with one's logic and one's opinion, then the logic would have said that when you're making masa on your khuffain, you know, we wear the khuffain, and then we know when we make masa, so we make masa on the top of the khuff. So the logic would have said that which part of the khuff is getting dirty? Is the top of the khuff getting dirty or the bottom of the khuff? The bottom of the khuffain are getting dirty. The logic would have said that you need to wipe the bottom, not the top. Deen has got nothing to do with the logic. It is the hukam of Allah Ta'ala. Whether it makes sense to us or doesn't make sense to us, tu barai bandagi hai yaad rakh. You are the bandas of Allah Ta'ala. Allah says do it, bas, we are going to do it. So anyway, there are many things that are beyond our understanding. We do not understand the hikmah. It is just beyond us. Like the child doesn't understand that ayn has the potential to hurt the child and burn the child. So that, in fact, sometimes the child may even develop a anger or a hatred or frustration for the parents. And why are you stopping? You don't like me to have fun. You don't want me to have fun. I want to have fun and I want to play with it. And they look at the parents as being, you know, nasty and against them. But we all know that the reality is that it is out of the love for the child that the parent is preventing the child from touching the hot iron. In the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His mahabbah for us, out of His love for us, He doesn't want us to destroy ourselves. He doesn't want us to harm ourselves. Hence He has said that you stay away from these things. There are plenty of things that are halal for you to enjoy. There's so much of halal food. There's so much of halal things you can look at. Look at the oceans. Look at yourselves. Look at inna fi khalqi samawati wal ard. Look at the creation of the heavens and the earth, the mountains, the trees, the animals. Take lessons from all of these things. But yes, don't cast lustful glances. The person can look at his wife and admire his wife as much as he wants to, and he'll get thawab for that too. He'll get thawab and reward for admiring and for enjoying his wife. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned to Sahaba Ikram that too is sadaqah. That the person enjoys his wife, that is also a form of sadaqah. So there are so many things which are halal. All we are required to do is abstain from that which is haram. So he says that chand roza zindagi hai yaad rakhi. Just for a few days you have to restrain yourself. Just for a few days. And then afterwards, Allah Ta'ala will reward you. Today we heard in the tafsir that you do one good deed, you take one step towards the akhirah, nazid lahu fi harati. Allah Ta'ala will intensify the rewards. So he says, Khaja Sahib continuing today, he says, Tune mansab bhi agar paya to kya? Tune mansab bhi agar paya to kya? If you have to achieve some position in this world, the person becomes a doctor, person becomes a lawyer, the person becomes a, you know, sheikh, the person becomes a chairman, he becomes a, you know, a mayor, the person becomes a king, he becomes a president, then what? Tokya. So then what? In other words, what he's saying is that even if you become a king, even if you become a minister, is that going to save you from death? Is that going to make any difference with regards to death? He says, Ganje seema zarbi hat aya tokya. That if all the palaces of the world and the gold and the silver has to come into your control, if you have to acquire it, if you have to get it, tokya. So then what? Then what? Qasr ali shabi banwaya tokya. Dabdababi apna diklaya tokya. Ek din marna hai, akhir mot hai. Karle jo karna hai, akhir mot hai. And then he further says, that you have to get a beautiful palace, you have to build a very, very beautiful palace. Haven't we seen people, you know, acquiring so much of wealth they acquired. They acquired that wealth and they continued. In the midst of that acquisition of the wealth, the angel of death struck and everything was left behind. The person was building that house, he was in the process of constructing it, getting the architect to do this here and getting this one to do that there, and the plumber needs to do this here. So we have to clarify, we're not saying that we must not build a house, or the person must not get wealth, or the person must not, you know, build up a fortune. That is there, ni'm al-mal, how wonderful is wealth in the hands of a good person. Because the person who Allah, who has been blessed with wealth, and he's pious, he's deendar, he's got love for Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how wonderful that wealth is in his hands. You must remember, Islam does not condemn wealth. Some people go to that extreme where we completely condemn wealth. There were many, many wealthy Sahaba ikram. Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, what kind of wealth he had, Allahu Akbar. On one occasion it was mentioned in Madinah to Munawwara that they could hear the sound of the entire Madinah Sharif was vibrating. People asked, what happened? It sounds like an earthquake. They said, no, the caravans of Abu Dharr are entering. The first caravan is in Madinah and it is a chain of caravans. The last is still leaving Syria. It is still leaving Sham. That's the amount of goods that Allah Ta'ala had blessed him with. And he used to spend his wealth on the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In one hadith, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, when she had received a great amount of wealth from Abu Dharr radiallahu anha, she said that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that only that person will care for my family, that person who has got the quality of sidq, a certain sifat, I can't remember the sifat, but a very special quality that he would have. Either he had sabar or sidq, one special quality. This was a sign of Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, the kind of wealth that Allah had blessed him. But of course he used that wealth. Hazrat Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, one of the titles of Uthman radiallahu anhu is Uthman al-Ghani, the Uthman the wealthy. So much of wealth he had on the occasion of Tabuk, when the expedition of Tabuk was taking place. The amount of wealth that he gave Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was taking the wealth and the gold and pouring it from one hand to the other, and he praised Abu Uthman radiallahu anhu to this extent. He said that today, no matter what Uthman does afterwards, Allah has forgiven him the amount of wealth that he had given. And we know the wealth that he had purchased, the wealth that he had purchased from the Jew, and he was given half of that wealth, and he allowed the Muslims to use it without any payment whatsoever. And thereafter he purchased the second half, and then he donated that entire wealth to the Muslims. Nabi Kareem Sahasam used it, the Sahaba Ikram used it. Can we imagine the rewards that are accruing on behalf of Uthman radiallahu anhu? In fact, a few years ago, when Allah Ta'ala gave the tawfiq to go for Umrah, so somebody showed us some huge waqf, some waqf foundation, and apparently it ran into the billions of dollars. And from there, so many African countries were receiving aid, and so many institutes, and around the globe, there was certain charitable works that were being done. And it was said that this was the same waqf that was started from Uthman radiallahu anhu. And today it has gone into a multi-billion dollar waqf. So imagine Uthman radiallahu anhu passed away, But till today, he is acquiring the reward of that. So how wonderful is wealth in the hands of a good and a pious person. So wealth in itself is not condemned. We know that some people portray Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to being a very poor person. The reality is that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah had given him great amount of wealth. I heard this from Yunus Patel sahab rahmatullahi, that when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam went and performed his Hajj, he slaughtered 63 camels. He slaughtered 63 camels. Now, for a person to slaughter 63 camels, what kind of wealth you have to have? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam chose poverty for himself, to the extent that whenever wealth came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he wouldn't allow the day to pass except that he distributed everything that was with him. So he didn't allow any wealth to accumulate whatsoever. So nevertheless, coming back to the fact, but here what Khaja sahab is trying to say, that even if you get wealth, some people become so obsessed that even if you get as much wealth as you get, and you build your huge palace, remember that no matter how much of wealth you have, no matter what size palace you built for yourself, at the end of it all, death is going to come to you as well. You are not going to be escaping death. In the midst of the building of this huge mansion of yours, and this house of yours, remember that whilst you're building this house, there is the possibility that you may never get the opportunity to live in this house for even one day. There is one person that we know personally. So his father was a doctor, and his father worked very hard, purchased his house. He just purchased his house after a short period of time. Thereafter, he passed away, and then the son took over that house. So outside the house, they had the name of the father. And now the son had the house. And so the son got the house, and he passed away, and then the next generation. So the reality is, when you look at it from that sense, that we are actually living in a timeshare apartment. If you timeshare apartment, each one goes and he's got his period of time that he's going to be using the house, and then it gets passed on to the next person. So for that time you're using it, and then after that you're going to pass it over to someone else. So now what happens is, if we have that kind of an approach to our homes, to our vehicles, so that attachment doesn't become so intense. You love your car, alhamdulillah, we must look after these things. You have to have some inclination to it. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved his horses. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved his wives. So to have love for these things is not condemned. But the love should be such that the love of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam dominates. It is ghalib. Subhanallah, Hazrat Shah Hakim Akhtar sahab rahmatullah used to say that Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, قُلْ إِن كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ. And then if we go on further, أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. This verse of the Quran Sharif states that if Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if your love for your parents, for your wealth, for, you know, your businesses, if it is more than the love for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then wait for the punishment of Allah Ta'ala. So Hazrat used to say that you need to love Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 51%. Was 51%. Meaning you are allowed to have 49% love. Subhanallah, look at the Ahlullah, they make deen so easy for us. Some people go to such an extreme that they're not even allowed to, you know, love anything. And we just spoke about love. That so as long as the love of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is 51%, alhamdulillah, you are safe. You are on the safe book. How do we test that love? The test for that love would be that when, for example, the wife is making a demand that is contrary to the command of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and at that point you can stand your ground and not move and not violate the command of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then you've passed the test. And even there too, a person has to do it in a very wonderful way that you don't break the mahabbah too. Hazrat Shah Hakim Akhtar sahab rahmatullah used to say that if the children are asking for something haram, in that those days you say they're asking for a TV in the house. So they're asking that you must install a TV in the house so that they can see, you know, the movies and whatever it may be. So he says at that time, the one is you can say that, you know, give them one tight slap and say that, how dare you ask for something like this here. Next time you ask for something like this, I'll show you. You don't dare ask. So that's one approach you can use. But Hazrat said that the better way is to do it this way. That he says if the television costs a certain amount, then you buy them a gift that's even more expensive than that. And say that, see, I have a lot of muhabbat for you. And I don't want to buy something that's going to, you know, displease our Allah Ta'ala. So, but I still want you to have something nice. So I'm still giving you a gift. But I'm giving you something even better than that. It's even more expensive than the television. So Hazrat used to say that you do not break the bond and the love between you and your children, and the love between you and your wife. That must always be maintained. Subhanallah. May Allah Ta'ala reward these Ahlullah for teaching us practical lessons, that we live in such a way that we maintain a wonderful, harmonious relationship within our homes. So he says, Qasr-e Ali Shah bi banwaya to kya? The person build a huge palace. So what if the person build a huge palace? There too, the person will have to leave his palace behind. It makes absolutely no difference. Dabdaba bi apna diklaya to kya? You showed your authority in this world. You showed your might. You showed your power. Did you escape death? Even you too had to, death had to came. That death had to overpower you. The person was a heavyweight boxer. He could give a person an uppercut on the lower jaw and floor the person. But he could not floor the Malakul Maud and the angel of death. When the angel of death came, the angel of death was able to floor him. He was able to show his power and authority in this world. But once the angel of death struck, that power, that authority, that might, all those, you know, heavyweight and lightweight titles, held no weight whatsoever in the grave. Absolutely no weight whatsoever in the grave. Made no difference. The person couldn't use it at all. The person had how many belts? He had a black belt and white belt and this belt. Fine, we're not saying you can't have it. But when it came to death, it didn't help him one bit. Just shows how important it is that we have to keep this death in front of us all the time. Ek din marna hai, aakhir maut hai. Kar le jo karna hai, aakhir maut hai. Therefore, together with building your beautiful house, together with acquiring all your wealth, make sure that you make an effort towards the year after as well. That must always be in the first place. That preparation should always be there. In fact, that preparation should be even more. Suddenly an example comes to the mind with your people's barakat of the person by the name of Behlul. Behlul was a very pious person who used to hide his piety with his simplicity. And he was, you know, in the court of Harun Rashid. So Harun Rashid would keep him in his court because he was very amusing. You know, it was sometimes, yeah, it's nice to have this light-hearted people. They make things a bit easy and make us smile a little. So on one occasion, Harun Rashid called him. He said, Behlul, I got a walking stick for you. He said, what's this walking stick? He said, this walking stick is meant for the most foolish person on earth. If you find someone more foolish than yourself, you can pass it on to him. So he gave it to him. Anyway, some time, period of time passed, and Harun Rashid became very ill. So Behlul came to visit him. He came inside, he said, what's wrong? He said that I'm very, very, very sick. I think my time is up. He said, your time is up for what? He said, my time is up to go to the next world. So he said, you're going to the next world, how long are you going there? He said, Behlul, when you go to the next world, you don't come back again. So he said, you're going to go there forever. You're not coming back again. He said, no, I'm not coming back again after that. So he says, what preparations you made? He said, no, I didn't really make preparations. So Behlul said, then I think I found the person more foolish than myself. He says, oh king, you are that person. When you undertake a journey, you make preparation. If it's a 3-day journey, you send a, you know, battalion out, you send your people out to go and scout the area to make sure that it's safe, to make sure that the accommodation is sorted out. You pack the caravans are packed and all the preparation is made. The longer the journey, the greater the preparation. Here you're telling me you're going forever, you're not coming back, and you made no preparation. I think definitely you are the most foolish person on the surface of the earth. So what an important lesson that sometimes we know we're going for Umrah, the person is going for 2 weeks. You know, especially if you're going with the women folk, the preparation starts much well longer in advance. Everything is the food, especially the food. So all of that gets sorted out well in advance. And then the clothing and everything gets sorted out and to make sure that the safar goes well. Why do we make the preparation? We don't want issues while we are traveling. We don't want to have a problem while we are traveling. There we are traveling for 2 weeks. We are going to be returning after all. Our safar to the akhirat, we're never going to come back. That journey, once we leave and once we depart from here, we're not going to ever come back again. And that journey continues, and it continues. What the question, the serious question I have to ask, and that's why we have this program, to create that awareness. How much of preparations have we made for our akhirah? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. Subhanallah bihamdihi subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayka allahumma lakal hamdu kulluhu wa lakash shukru kulluhu allahumma la nuhsi thanaan alayka anta kama athnayta ala nafsik O Kareem, Rahim, Allah, O Allah, bless us with all these wonderful sifat and qualities, Ya Allah. O Allah, we are making an effort, Ya Allah. Our duty is to make the effort, Ya Allah. But O Allah, hidayat is in your hands, Ya Allah. Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qulubana ala deenik. Ya musarrif al-qulub, sarrif qulubana ala ta'atik. Allahumma inna qulubana wa nawasiyana wa jawarihana biyadik. لم تملكنا منها شيئا فإذا فعلت ذلك بنا فكن أنت ولينا واهدنا إلى سواء الصراط Oh Allah, our hearts in your control, Ya Allah. Turn our hearts in the right direction, Ya Allah. Make us yours and become ours. With your power of jadd, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, pull us towards you, Ya Allah. هو يجتبي إليه من يشاء Oh Allah, you are that being who pulls whom you wish to towards you, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, pull us towards you, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with your mahabbat, with your ma'rifat, Ya Allah. And make us, Ya Allah, of people, ya, such people who radiate love, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, make us of those who are aware, Ya Allah, and are always zakir and aware of death, Ya Allah, and are prepared for death, Ya Allah. Grant us the tawfiq to prepare well for death, Ya Allah. Those of our relatives and our family members, Ya Allah, parents or grandparents that have passed away, our satizai kiram, our mashayikh, Ya Allah, we are indebted to them, Ya Allah, for the lessons that they have taught us, Ya Allah, for the du'as that they have made for us, Ya Allah, for their guidance and their tawajjuhat, Ya Allah. Allah, the least we can do is raise our hands and ask you, Ya Allah, fill their graves with noor, Ya Allah. Allahumma ghfir lahum marhamhum masakinhum fil jannah. Allahumma ja'al quburahum rawdatan min riyadil jannah. All our actions and our programs and our ibadat, Ya Allah, make it a means of sadaqah jariyah for them, Ya Allah. Allahumma inna nasaluka min kulli khair ma sa'alaka minhu nabiyuka wa habibuka sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa na'udhu bika min kulli shar ma sta'adha minhu nabiyuka wa habibuka sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa anta al-musta'an wa alayka al-balag wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al-mursaleen wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin